This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 30 of 2020, and yes, I'm continuing that countdown until the end of the year. I started it in January with week one, and no year has ever felt more appropriate than to have a countdown than this one, accidentally. Sorry. But hey, we're on 30, we're on the backside, we're on our way to 2021. Enough of that. Let's get into some home theater fun. That's what this podcast is about. This is where we sit down, hang out, talk about what we do in our theaters, what we watch in our theaters, our favorite scenes. Thanks to Ara for last week. I had a blast talking with Ara last week. As we said a little bit in the podcast, we started talking before we even started recording, the quote unquote green room, if you will, and we just hit it off. It was great. I look forward to more conversations with Ara and Braden and those guys. I'm loving this community. Thank you to all the listeners, all the followers. And speaking of followers, little accident this week. I was just joking around. I was actually trying to bust Ara because he hadn't followed me. We hit it off really well. And it's one of those things that you can follow everybody, but you don't realize you're not following people. I've done it in the past. And I looked at my numbers and I was one away. So I put out that tweet saying that I'm one away from 150. And I'm loving all of my followers. I don't need to have thousands of followers. I love the followers I have. As it grows, I get to know everybody. It's great. But I thought it would be funny to say I'm one away. And then as I said at the end of the tweet, I said, ahem, Ara. And I tagged him. And I was expecting just to get him to come back and be like, and I got all these congratulations. I appreciate every single one. I was like, whoops, I didn't mean this. I wasn't fishing for anything, because you guys have been great to me every week anyways with the conversations and the compliments. But it was pretty funny that it was the first person. It was like 2 minutes into it, and it was John Archer on Twitter, obviously, at Big John Archer, and he was the next one to click, and he got to be the 150th. Like, that's a big milestone. It wasn't meant for this, but it was pretty funny. It sparked off a conversation, and he even said, he's like, oh, I meant to follow you a while ago, and I'm like, that's fine, you know? It was pretty funny, but a little later on, Ara jumped on. I actually picked up like 10 followers out of it. I'm just like, I'm not internet savvy. I'm not social media savvy. That's not what I'm in this for. I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I mean, Brian had a great one. He's like, genuinely happy to have found your podcast after First Reflect and AV Rant Tom helped me maximize my HT's capabilities. You have really helped maximize the enjoyment I'm getting out of the great results. And that's what I wanted to do. That's what I've always wanted to do. That was a great tweet that Brian put out there at Brian_Fuller7, by the way. And it was pretty funny. Steve George jumped in at Legal Beagle. Okay. And every time I say Legal Beagle, I keep thinking of Three's Company and the Regal Beagle. Sorry, Steve, but sorry about that. But he's like, he said something like, I'd be lying if I didn't like the shout out. So there you go. Another one. And I incorporated Three's Company for you there. But we have great conversations, and that's the idea. It's like the more people I get, the more conversations I can have, and I'm going to try to talk about as many as I can. And it's funny, just before I started recording, I missed a comment that you made, Steve, and you said, I just saw it today. I'm recording this on Thursday, and it says, by the way, if you don't have it on your list already, I highly recommend The Invisible Man. Some incredible sound design in that movie. Okay, I gotta come clean. You're like the fourth person I'm about to have this conversation with. I've had it on Twitter. I've had it in person. And I've had a couple through email from this podcast. And I've been kind of avoiding the conversation. I watched this movie a while ago. I own it. My wife and I watched it, and I didn't like it. I love the sound design. I love the sound. I love the special effects. But this is a Bright Side of Home Theater, and I did not like the movie itself. And especially, Steve, you're a lawyer, I understand. The beginning of this movie, maybe you can clarify this for me, but I was lost on this movie in how that she escapes her captor and she hides out at a cop's house, but nobody tries to go and get the captor. I could not get that out of my mind. I don't want to get too much into it because in case people haven't seen it, I know most people really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed this movie as a home theater movie, but as a movie itself, I couldn't wrap my mind around that. I'm not a big horror fan anyways because I'm more of a realistic person. My artwork that I've done has always been based in reality. It's not interpretive, whatever. But anyways, but horror is usually like you have to – is you're leaving your brain at the door a little bit. And I just, for some reason, I just have never been able to wrap my mind around it. And I just didn't like it. And I've had this conversation with people, John M on email for one. I have a friend and everybody's like, you're crazy. It's great. I'm like, okay, fine. I just don't like it. But to Steve and all the listeners, anybody else, it's like, I'm happy to have the conversation about it. That's fine. But yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. But I am a fan of the sound design, and there are some great, great jump scenes in there. I know my wife jumped, and there are some great sound effects around the room, especially when you're dealing with an invisible man. It was pretty cool. I thought they could have done more, and the story just didn't grab me. So enough on that. Probably took way too much time on that, actually. Sorry. But moving on, Adriano tweeted back with a comment about last week's podcast with Ira Dedarian, and he said, hearing Six Underground is solid reference material. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you can find it, if you can go on the Nerdy Legion website, you can actually scroll back. If you go to the Nerdy Legion website and you click on Brightside Home Theater, all my podcasts are there, ranging all the way back to the beginning. That some of them were rough, but there is a Six Underground that I jumped on. I watched the movie and I was so blown away by it. I jumped on and I was blown away and I wanted to talk about it. And the first 20 minutes of that movie is absolute roller coaster reference material. It's awesome. Awesome sound. And you're like, this is Netflix. It's crazy. It's not a coincidence that Ara had it on his list. I had it on my list. It's just, if you've seen the movie and you have a home theater, it's going to be on your list. It's absolutely, obviously it's spanning the globe. But Adriano also had a question this morning about video games, and that's at Adriano Tweets 87, and he said, at Brightside HT, I play a lot of Gears 5. It sounds incredible, as is on my standard surround system. But I was wondering if you had any experience with Gears 5 or any other games that had Atmos as a feature, and did it make a noticeable difference for you? Have a good one, mate. You too, Adriano. I have actually a lot of experience. I consider my experience right now limited experience with sound, but I have a lot of experience with video games and my system because I've been doing it since the 80s, since I had a Sega Genesis and I've been trying to pump sound around the room with that. It's a little bit easier now, but I think the last time I tried Atmos, I was trying to get Atmos through an Xbox and I basically gave up. This was way back years ago before I'd even heard AV Rant. And now if you listen to them talk about Xbox and sound and over the years, you realize it's like Xbox has been a disaster with it. And it, my son and I were so excited. I thought I had Atmos and like everything was Atmos. The front of my screen said of my receiver said Atmos. I'm like, Joe, it's playing Atmos. We got it to work. And it's like everything was Atmos. And then you realize not everything's Atmos. How could this be possible? We thought every game we were putting in was Atmos, but then we were watching things that weren't Atmos and it, so that didn't work. Basically what I found, and Steve George had said this, he had actually replied to him before I could get to him, but he said the up conversion is really good. I honestly can't imagine a noticeable difference in Atmos with Atmos in a video game. And here's why. Because where I see the video game and the sound systems really being an advantage, and Tom Andrea and I talked about this a little bit. Like, when you're playing a first person shooter, it's an advantage to have no headphones on and be able to localize where the sounds are coming from, and you can turn and look. So like, if you turn your head and you're wearing headphones, your headphones don't know you turned your turn. Bleh, say that again. Your headphones don't know that you turned your head. So if sound is moving and your head is moving, you're not obviously going to move. It doesn't work as well. It's not as realistic. And even with other games, there's more ambient sounds and stuff. I don't know how many games would actually utilize the overhead and how important that would be anyways. Like, if somebody's like shooting right above you, I suppose, like if somebody was in a parachute and they were going to shoot you from above, maybe that would help you to look up. I don't know. And actually, you know what? Now that I say it out loud like that, that actually would be pretty cool. But I have never experienced a true Atmos game, but the up conversion is really good. The systems that I've run, the games that I've played, my son plays way more than I do, and I've actually experienced probably more games through him than I've actually played, meaning sitting in the room and he's like, if you hear something, spot it to the left, to the right, whatever. If you let me know where you think it's coming from. Cause you'll hear brushes move and stuff, but that's a whole other world. And I actually thought of getting into more of that with this podcast, but it's hard enough keeping up with everybody with the movies. So to actually get into video games, if I ever get back into video games, if I have the time, I used to be huge into video games. Maybe I'll do a little bit more on it, but it's a great question. I know a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are using it. And I am hoping that there's more, they expand on it with the two new systems that are coming out this year. Maybe they will utilize the Atmos and the overhead. But I haven't heard much, and that doesn't mean much. It's not like I'm big into this world, but I haven't heard much about Atmos actually being utilized correctly in a video game, like really great overhead sounds that are really meaningful in the game. Whereas everything else is really meaningful. It's like, you know, setting your system to game mode, so your sound system, so it's more localized. Each speaker is more distinct. It can be an advantage for sure. And I had a few email conversations this week. I had a great conversation back and forth over the last week or so with John M. John, I've got my Bait 3D in, came in, I think, Tuesday. Haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I'm looking forward to that because I've never seen it. So that'll be a fun experience in 3D. But John and I have had some great conversations back and forth about Kello, about different, he saw a Def Leppard concert, one that my wife and I had already seen. She loves Def Leppard, so we kind of rocked out one night, had a good time with that one. He mentioned Master and Commander. Definitely should be checking that out. He loves the sound in that, so I'm going to be checking that out shortly. I don't know if I'll do a full review on it, but I will be mentioning it. He was watching Robin Hood 4K from 2010 at the time. But I also got an email from what I believe is a newer email. I haven't talked to him before. His name's Cornell, or her, not really sure. But he asked, will you do a podcast on Greyhound when it is available on disc and compare it to the streaming version? And I replied, yes, absolutely. I can't wait to do that. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that movie on disc in all its glory. I thought I thought the streaming was very good. I thought the movie was good. I thought the sound was good. Again, Steve had a few issues over on his side of the pond. I think we figured it might be bandwidth because I localized some stuff that he didn't. So the disc will help us all with that. And then we had a conversation about multi-region players. And we went back and forth on that. And it's something that I'm looking into because maybe I'll be able to see some things that are not available to me here in the States and that I'd be able to get from overseas and be able to get it ahead of time. That's always an advantage to be able to, if I can get some stuff ahead of time here, that'd be great. you know, hey, thanks to everybody. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for the conversations. Thanks for the follows. I got a bunch of new followers. Every week it's kind of funny, and that's why I happened to be checking last week. My podcast comes out on Fridays around 4 o'clock. Typically I try to get it out for 4 o'clock. And it's always every week, a couple of ticks, a couple more listeners, a couple more followers on Twitter. And it's kind of fun because I know it's all word of mouth. So I appreciate everybody that's listening and you're telling your friends and other people are and then they're telling somebody. And this is growing a lot faster than I thought it ever would. I say that every week because it's true. I'm one guy sitting here all by myself and but now I have some people that are coming in and sitting with me. I can't believe it. I appreciate it. Thank you to everybody. So let's move on. This week's topic was because of a tweet that I made about Tenet. I said on Twitter, and mine is at BrightsideHT, I said, with Christopher Nolan's Tenet being delayed indefinitely, what does that mean to us home theater enthusiasts? Will it get released via streaming? How does this affect other movies and their chances at streaming releases? Since I tweeted that, a few things have come down. So AMC and Universal came up with an agreement that they will share in the profits 3 weeks after a release in the theaters. They can release it for the high value rental, a $20 rental. So 3 weeks after it comes out in the theaters, you can rent it for $20. They can release it for that. The studios don't have to, but they're allowed to. And then AMC Cinemas will be getting a share of that rental. What this means to me is this is the landscape changing. And other studios are going to be getting on board with this because they're going to want to release their stuff streaming sooner rather than later, especially with this COVID thing going on and who knows what it's going to be like. You know, when the theaters open back up, are people going to go? You can't imagine everybody's going to rush to the theater. But if you have an opportunity to see it 3 weeks later for a modest fee in your home, then you might do that. So we might start to be seeing more streaming sooner rather than later. And it's actually going to benefit the theaters as well with this agreement. And I'm not really giving a lot into this agreement because I think it's just the tip of the iceberg because it's just AMC and Universal right now, but I got to imagine all cinemas and all studios are going to be looking to copy this in one way or another because everybody's going to be wanting to make money off of streaming quicker rather than wait the 3 months delay that we have now, that the agreement they have now. So with all of that, talking about Christopher Nolan's movies, talking with Ara last week in that you don't need, Ara and I mentioned, you don't need to have Atmos. It's not the most important thing. I love it. I'm glad I have it, but you don't need it. And I've said it before about Dunkirk, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to break out Inception, one of my favorite movies. Martin, I know you're listening, so if you want to do a podcast on this one, we could go all day on this one. How many layers deep can we go on this one? Get it? See what I'm saying there? That wasn't just to Martin. But yeah, this very deep movie, so much here. I love this movie, but as a home theater movie, this entire movie is reference level. And it's only in 5.1 DTS Master Audio, but it's Christopher Nolan, and he just knows how to, well, let's play the trailer. Let's get into it. We have, and even in this trailer, you're going to hear you can hear the score, Hans Zimmer's score. It's so good. And we'll get into that. We'll get the trailer going and then we'll break down this movie. Enough of me babbling. Let's play the trailer.
What's the most resilient parasite? An idea. A single idea from the human mind can build cities. An idea can transform the world and rewrite all the rules. Which is why I have to steal it.
Never recreate from your memory. Always imagine new places.
He's hiding something, and we need to find out what that is.
got to break out of here. Give him the kick.
This was not a part of the plan.
Wake me up! Wake me up!
All right, this movie is 10 years old now. I'll go spoiler-free really quick on this 4K disc. First off, picture, not that much different than the 1080p, to be honest with you. Pretty close, little sharper, but unless you're flipping back and forth, it's very close. Not really a big difference. The DTS track is the same track from the Blu-ray. And that was tremendous. This is tremendous. As I said, the reason I picked this for this week is because, one, of course, we are missing Tenet. So I had Christopher Nolan in my head, and I thought, you know, this is one of my favorite movies anyways. I thought it would be a great opportunity to build off of what Ara and I were talking about last week, and that you don't need necessarily Atmos. And Christopher Nolan is one of those directors that thinks we don't need to have Atmos. He does all of his movies in 5.1. Most of them, I think. I know Dunkirk's in 5.1. This is in 5.1. And you don't need Atmos. And this movie proves it. If you have a home theater and you don't have this movie in your collection, you're missing out. This movie, it puts your system through its paces from beginning to end sound-wise. I'll get into a few instances where the picture and sound and actually the writing come together. But from beginning to end, it's a treat. Audibly, my wife is like, the dishes are shaking upstairs. I can hear them. Beginning to end, I have a few choices here. There's so many to pick from. And I had so many to actually talk about, but I'm like, I can't talk about every single one of these. So I'll go through some of my favorite choices. But honestly, beginning to end, you can't go wrong with this movie. It is. And this is from the home theater side. You want to get into the actual discussion of the movie itself. I could talk about that all day as well. But from a home theater fan, the sound, you know, before I had a 4K projector, this is one that I would always put in. This, you know, it wasn't about the picture. This was about the sit back and just get bombarded. So the popcorn's popping. That's it for spoiler free. It's 10 years old. What can I say? So let's move on and let's start talking spoilers. And here we go again. Opening logo. Nice deep bass. We haven't even started the movie yet and Christopher Nolan is hitting you in the gut. You can feel it. The room is vibrating and then you get the waves crashing. And you see Leonardo DiCaprio on the beach. But just that opening scene, you're like, what an intro. This is 5.1. And it's the 0.1. You're just getting pounded with that just quick opening scene of a, what is it, Syncopy logo? Amazing. So then jump to 3 minutes. And I'm titling this Just a Conversation. And you'll notice all of my titles in this one are question marks because who knows about this movie? Is this really taking place? Is it not? Is it a dream? Who knows? So it's a question. But this scene here at the 3 minute mark is a great bass test. Do you have two subwoofers? Do you have them placed correctly? Do all of the stuff that you want to know about your subwoofer on this scene? You can find out how well your subwoofers are working. I started it at the 3 minute mark because at this point here, it's just a conversation between Leonardo, Jay Gordon, and Ken Watanabe. They're sitting there talking, but if you know this movie, obviously, when when the subject that they're going into their dreams, they start to figure things out, things start to rumble. So at like I said, at the 3 minute mark, you can hear, not even hear, sorry, you can feel a faint rumble in the room. Things are about to go wrong. And the first time you see this movie, you don't know what any of this means. It's of course through the second, third, fourth, tenth viewings that you start noticing a few more things. And the base, it's the whole room is shaking, like you're just very minor. It is such a low frequency that your seats are shaking and it's not even audible. But they're just talking away, and if you don't have both your subwoofers on and you have two subs, you won't feel it. You won't know. You just won't have enough unless you have that sub right up against you. If you don't have enough power, you won't know. If it's not tuned right, whatever, anything. Get into the, you know, talk to the other guy, AV Rant, about getting your subwoofers right and then put this scene on. But it's, what a test. Because the bass starts to build, then it gets audible, and you're feeling as the volume goes up, you're feeling it more and more. And it's slowly building till the explosion on the street, and then you have lots of distinct sounds all around the room as well. And that's a lot of fun. But if you can feel this scene early on in the conversation, you know you have your subs tuned really well and your room is doing well. This is such a test for subwoofers, such a great scene. Then at 8 minutes and 50 seconds, we have our first real action scene titled 5.1. Is this a 5.1 movie? Because this, it starts with a gunshot. But then the bassy, deep bassy score, which is throughout this movie, beginning to end, the way they use the score by Hans Zimmer, who he was nominated for an Oscar for this, I believe. They did win Best Achievement in Sound Mixing, Best Achievement in Sound Editing, the Best Visual Effects, but then were nominated for Picture of the Year, Screenplay, stuff like that. But when you win for sound mixing and sound editing, you know it's going to be a good movie. It's really good. And Hans Zimmer's score in this throughout is amazing. But back to this scene at 8 minutes and 50 seconds, it's just more visceral bass that just goes right through you, crumbling buildings all around. The entire room is fully engaged. More so than the earlier scene that I just listed at 3 minutes, but this one here really takes off and just the whole room starts shaking and all the speakers are engaged. It feels like there's stuff coming from above, but of course my system's up mixing, but it's over 2 minutes long, ending with a deep bass splash that you can feel in your seat. This is a very taxing scene for your system, and it's really, really good. I have it listed as another reference scene that bring a friend in, show off your system, and put it at reference level and see if they'll stay. It's that good. It's that powerful. Here we go again at 27 minutes and 30 seconds, another reference scene. Coffee? Leo and Ellen Page are just hanging out, having coffee. She doesn't know how they got there. So here come the bass rumbles. You can feel it in your seat. But this one ends up with the whole city block starts exploding all around them. So each channel in your room becomes a location for an explosion. And these explosions are like confetti cannons just going off. So this is one of those where maybe there's a bit more detail and more color in the 4K than there is in the 1080p, but it's, you're just being assaulted anyways. So it's the assault on the senses here is just awesome. And each of these first three scenes I would list as pretty much reference scenes because they're all a little bit different. They all bring a little bit more to the table, and it's, or a little something different to the table. So that's what makes them each a reference scene, and they are a lot of fun to sit through. And this one here, if you're watching it on a big, big screen, it's fun to watch Leonardo DiCaprio and Ellen Page sitting at their table and watching everything go off around them. And if you're on a smaller screen, like a 55, they're probably pretty small, so it's not as easy to pick out. It's you could see them sitting there, and it's how they did this scene. I have no idea, but that gets into the visual effects that they won an award for. But what an epic assault on the senses this was. Awesome, awesome scene. At 29:45, a walk around the block? I don't know. Just a simple scene where, with some nice bass, Ellen Page realizes she's changing the world, and this is where the buildings start to curl back up over their head, and the whole room just starts to rumble. It was just really, really nice, really calm. They're just walking along, and then all of a sudden, here goes your room again. And it's just a nice little, you know, nice little relaxing bass scene after what we've been through with these first couple of scenes here. And then at 32 minutes and 20 seconds, mirrors? I actually jumped when the mirrors shattered. So obviously we're into spoilers, so we're talking about when the mirrors shatter, when she puts her hands on them. The bass punch that you get, it's so distinct. And then the shattering of the glass coming down, it's just that overall, I mean, the entire, what a, you know, 4 seconds of sound, but it's just so quick with that deep bass that hits you in the chest and then the shattering glass coming down. It was just a really nice scene, but when I just watched it this past week, the first time I watched it, I forgot that's exactly what happened. And I'm sitting there, oh, what's going to, oh, and I jumped in my seat. And I mean, I got punched in the chest. I mean, you're going to jump. Moving on to 37 minutes and 10 seconds. Getaway. Leonardo is trying to escape capture here, and the score really carries the scene. But the nice ambient street sound that you have while the score is going on, and then the ups and the downs, the nice use of quiet to contrast the loud sounds that you had, and how it brings you down a little bit, and then, oh, they're going to catch him again, and here we go, and the sound ramps up. And then there's also some nice gunshots, you know, nice gunshots. And they ring out like a gunshot on the left, a gunshot on the right, or maybe it's on the right, then the left. I don't remember. Like I said, this entire movie is an assault on your senses and trying to remember exactly what each one was. But I do remember distinctly, you know, gunshots on each side of the room and all of this going on. It's a nice, nice scene. And really kind of points out how good the sound is for even just the lesser sounds, like the vocals coming from the center channels. All the dialogue was fine. Everything came through clearly, but you can hear distinct sounds on the side. Like I said, the city street sounds of traffic or people talking, all the while you have Hans Zimmer's score playing, and that's just tremendous throughout. And it's just, it was a good example of how the highs and the lows all mixed really well together in this. At 58:45, Broken Glass. There's some great bass leading up to this on the elevator ride. This is Ellen Page going through the elevator and seeing Leo's, his dreams, I guess. Okay. So like I said, there's some great bass leading up to this. And when Ellen Page steps on that glass, I thought this was so cool in a movie filled with so much bass. This is such a great bass filled movie. And then you have this nice little scene where she steps on the glass and breaks it. And it's a very, very distinct high pitched ring that rings out for what, you know, I was counting it. It took place at actually when she broke the glass, it was actually at 58:54. And it rang at least until like 59:01, 59:02. And even after that, you can hear that ring trail off in its part of the score at that point. But it was just when it first broke, listen to that ring and do a count. Cause maybe if your hearing's better than mine, you'll hear it even longer. I don't know. Cause maybe, you know, I'm older now and I can't hear the higher pitches as well. So who knows? But yeah, it was really nice contrast to the rest of the movie, which was very bass heavy. But this was really, really nice, that ringing sound. And then we're back with some more bass at 1 hour and 5 minutes and 20 seconds, A Train. And this is another jump scene. They're in the taxi or car or whatever it was. And I think it was Ellen Page and Leonardo DiCaprio. And then all of a sudden they get crushed by a train. And that's another jump scene for me because I was so distracted by, I was like, oh, cool. The raindrops on the roof and I can hear them all around my room. And I was listening to all my speakers be engaged with the raindrops and everything. And then bam, you got hit again in the chest with some great bass, really pounding in, but just really quick. And I jumped because they got me. I was in awe of the raindrops and then just bam, you literally hit by a train. Or was I? And here's another reference scene. And this is the one I kind of alluded to earlier. This is at 1 hour, 21 minutes and 10 seconds. She jumped and it's, the entire scene is building as Leonardo begs his wife not to jump. And as you get engrossed into this scene, the whole will she or won't she? And to be honest, as I was watching this the second time, I hadn't seen this movie in maybe a year or so. And I'd forgotten exactly how everything played out because, of course, it's all different dream sequences. So I couldn't remember exactly how it played. So I was just as engaged on this first viewing this week as I have been in the past. And I was like, does she die? I can't remember. Does she die? Does she die? And you're getting into that. And it's you can feel the angst that Leonardo DiCaprio is portraying. She's desperate. The whole scene, you're engaged in this whole scene. The scene is shot almost monochromatically. So you're very focused here and it looks fantastic. And the score is just building as the tension is building. And you're thinking at this point that nothing could get worse and it can't build any more. Like your room could not be filled with more sound. And then all of a sudden she steps off and your room just amps up almost like from the middle of the room into your chest. You get that bass come at you and you're like, what the? And you feel like you're hit in the gut. Just as Leonardo DiCaprio is screaming out because she's dying. She's just jumped to her death. And that's his wife. And it's just like you're one with him because of the score, because of the writing, because of the picture. And this is, it's just that one scene that you get so engrossed and so encapsulated and you're on the edge of your seat. And like I said, just when you think it can't get any worse, here comes that bass up, just a gut wrenching experience that you can literally, it's gut wrenching. You can feel it. And it was so good. And that this is, I call it a reference scene because you're watching this movie and you get involved. I don't know if this would play as well if you just invited somebody into your room because they're not as involved with the characters, but you still do get that feel. You get that overall, like the bass swelling up as she steps off and it ramps up really quick. And it's not like when the train comes in and hits you. it's a different ramp up. It's incredible and it's an incredible use of sound. Again, this movie, there's so many great scenes and I could just go on and I will. So we'll go on to 1 hour, 29 minutes and 35 seconds. None of this is real. And this is one similar to at the beginning of the movie. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Cillian Murphy. And Leonardo is explaining to him that this isn't real and blah, 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 and trying to get him, you know, to believe that Leonardo DiCaprio is trying to help him. But this is one where there's like, so Cillian Murphy has his doubts. So the base is building because that's part of the storyline. So the base is building in the room. They're also in a van. So we're on multiple layers here and the van is tilting. So the room is tilting. So Leonardo's trying to explain that away, but the room's tilting. So you have all of this stuff going on. All the while, there's some real dialogue being spoken here and the dialogue is crystal clear, but you have, you know, clinking and disturbing sounds all around the room as a bar or restaurant is tilting on its side and things are moving. And of course, this is all held together with some tremendous bass. But the dialogue is still clear and you have nice, distinct clinking noises. Just again, full spectrum of sound going through your room here. All of your speakers are engaged. That's again, that scene's at 1 hour, 29 minutes, 35 seconds. It's amazing. I can't say it enough. At 1 hour, 38 minutes and 40 seconds, we have action on all layers. So this is the van is crashing. You have J. Gordon Levitt. He's trying to get down the hallway and it's like upside down and all of that. So you have that hotel fight. There's an amazing score here filling the room, and the entire scene just wraps up bang with a single gunshot. It's just a nice scene, really quick scene, but not really, because the whole movie is building towards this. And it's from here on out that it's like, it's just one scene after another. There's some beautiful gunshots coming up, in the snow. There's some, it just, it's a roller coaster ride of ups and downs. I had a bunch of scenes listed here after this scene that I could say the grenade and nice base here, but they all were, they're all tremendous. If they were in any other movie, you'd be like, that was awesome. But in this movie, it's like, okay, there's another one and there's another one and there's another one. So I'm just going to jump right to 2 hours, 8 minutes and 20 seconds. And I'm calling this one improvising, because this is where Ellen Page brings everything, all the layers together. She shoots Leonardo's wife. She's trying to end all of this. They have to get out. So everything comes back together. The score, the explosions, the gunshots, all tremendous at this point. As I said, it's been up and down all the way through, a roller coaster ride. And this has been going on for almost a half hour. So like, if you just want it, you've seen this movie and you just want to get bombarded by sounds and have a great roller coaster ride of sound, start at like the 1 hour and 30 minute mark and just sit back and just, you know, get hit. And we're not done yet, because at 2 hours, 11 minutes and 30 seconds, all levels converge. Question mark? This is insane. That your room just goes off. It's everything's happening. Bass in everything. You have bass from the score. You have bass from the action in the movie. It's borderline painful. It was rocking my house. My one floor up, my cabinets were shaking. My wife said it was just, this is just an unreal subwoofer test. It's just, this was a blast. And again, we're at 2 hours, 11 minutes, 30 seconds, and this has all been building for 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 30 seconds for all intents and purposes. But the roller coaster ride that we've been on since about the 1 hour, 30 minute mark, it just feels just like, I didn't think there was that much more. I didn't think my system could do that much more. And this scene here, it's just like, and it ends with a nice, quiet splashdown at 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 48-ish seconds. But it's, and then when you get that, you're like, oh, okay. But then my last note comes at 2 hours, 20 minutes, 53 seconds, and it's one final note. The top falls, period. Because that's what I believe happens. I think the top falls. You can argue with me. That's fine. But that's where I choose that this movie goes. I think the top falls. If you don't know what I mean, then you didn't see the movie. So thank you for listening. But there's so many other scenes. If there's any other scenes that are your favorites, or you think the top stays spinning, you can let me know on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at thebrightsidehometheater@gmail.com. We can talk about that or any other conversations we have all week. Thanks to everybody for all the conversations that I've been having. Appreciate it. Keep them coming. And please, if you get an opportunity, go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. I could use some more reviews. That's how I get noticed, and the more the merrier. But thanks to everybody. That's it for this week. Of course, I'll be back next week. But until then, have a great weekend, and go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey, Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.